Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the first hour. Happy to report that I am kicking off this show with Peter Buchvar. He is the Chief Investment Officer at the Bleakley Advisory Group. Peter is one of my favorite guests to have on, and also one of my favorites to follow on his website at The Book Report, which I will post a link to, where Peter breaks down all the recent data and what really is important for markets, and also provide some of his comments on the back of that. Peter, let's start off with kind of a high-level look at not just what's going on in the U.S., but what's going on around the world, where it seems like central banks and markets, even for that reason, are getting us into an environment where we are going to continue to see lower interest rates and even negative interest rates. We had the new ECB head, Christine Lagarde, be announced, as well as some Fed nominees from Trump that also, it seems like, read very much off of Trump's playbook as he continues to push on the Fed to lower rates. What are your general comments about the environment that the world is in, and especially for investors, where it's hard to not expect and assume that we're going to see lower interest rates around the world, and even further into negative yielding interest rates around, well, Europe and some other countries?
Well, the number one issue is we have slowing growth. The response in interest rates is to that. So markets are only focused on the response, and that, okay, central banks are going to ease, and they're not paying attention to, well, why are we in this position? We're in this position because growth is slowing dramatically. The World Bank has an estimate for GDP growth in 2019 of only 2.6%. U.S. growth, when you have combined the likely second quarter number of probably 1.5 with the first quarter around 3, you're going to get 2.25 type percent growth. And in the jobs data is now softening, in that we're seeing less hiring. Manufacturing globally is in a recession, if you look at the global PMI, and that's spilling over into services. So this collapse in interest rates, again, is in response to the softening data. And at least with the U.S., the key will be earnings that we'll start to get in 2 to 3 weeks, where companies are going to quantify the impact of the slowing and what it means for earnings estimates.
So data has been weak in, let's say, Europe and weakening in China, but just recently it seems to be trending much more aggressively down in the U.S. as well. Do you think this is simply the U.S. not being able to weather the storm of what's going on around the world as much as they had for some of the prior years? Or is this just the bigger picture that the world is kind of screwed, to put it in a simple sense?
Well, no one is immune to the slowing that is going on in China, irrespective of the tariffs. But you certainly throw all the tariffs out there, and it's turned upside down global supply chains and has really negatively impacted confidence. So you get a slowdown in China, then you get a slowdown in the rest of Asia. You get a slowdown in Asia, you get a slowdown in Europe. You get a slowdown in Europe and Asia, and then you start to get a slowdown in the U.S. And we're all in this boat together. I'm not as confident as the markets in thinking that somehow further central bank easing is going to help us in this situation. The cost of capital is already very low, and I consider negative interest rates more of a poison than an anecdote, particularly when it comes to banks. And if you continue to damage the profitability of your banks, it's tough to be confident that you're going to get faster economic growth.
Now, how does this relate to the financial markets and for investors? We're seeing an interesting environment where stocks are going up, bonds are going up, and even gold is going up. It does seem like the world does have, or the financial system has, too much money, and they just don't know where to put it. But if money is continuing to get cheaper, is there, when can we expect this scenario to change? It seems like it could keep on going for a while longer.
Well, it depends. I mean, you look at the Japanese experience. They have 30 years of easing, and the Nikkei is down 50% from where it was 30 years ago. their stock market doesn't even respond to the Bank of Japan buying ETFs. They own 70% of the ETF market. You know, what you're seeing here is just this typical Pavlovian dog response to Fed easing and the drop in interest rates overseas, and say, okay, rates are low, central banks are easing, you got to buy stocks, irrespective of the underlying fundamentals. I mean, it's just really just a bizarre time period when you can do all the analysis of fundamentals that you want, and it really doesn't matter when the overwhelming influence on markets are central banks. And even you take the China-U.S. Discussions last weekend when Trump and Xi met, I don't really see them being any closer to a deal unless both sides compromise, and that doesn't necessarily seem to be what's going to happen. In the meantime, we're left with tariffs on 25% on half the goods we import from China, and we got to pay tariffs on about over $100 billion worth of stuff we export to them. So this is a major drag on economic growth. And but again, stocks are just focused on rates and central banks and assuming that they can save the world. And I don't think that that's necessarily a prudent bet.
Yeah, well, it's a good comparison to see what's gone on in Japan, too, because they've been playing this game for longer and more consistently than a lot of these central banks. But definitely seems with Christine Lagarde at the head of the ECB, I know it's hard to get more dovish than Draghi, but it really doesn't seem like she's going to change anything over there, does it?
No, she will just continue on with what they're doing and somehow expecting a different result. But unless there's fiscal stimulus of some sort in Europe, there's no chance that more monetary easing is going to do anything. And, you know, now they're in a situation where just imagine if they do have success in generating faster economic growth, and, you know, you're going to see a sharp rise in interest rates. So what are they going to do then? So this is a very dangerous circle that we're in, that if central banks become successful one day in generating higher inflation or even growth accelerates, you can be damn sure that interest rates are going to be much higher, and you're going to have a pretty ugly situation in global bond markets. So it really is this very bizarre situation globally that seems to be getting more bizarre.
Yeah, we're going down that road. But what about currencies, too? Trump keeps on making comments about all these other countries manipulating their currencies, wants the Fed to lower interest rates for a number of reasons, but does also push on lowering interest rates to hopefully lowering the U.S. dollar. In terms of currency wars, do you see anything changing in a drastic sense?
Well, the Trump's viewpoint of fighting this currency war is trying to convince the Fed to lower interest rates. So by trying to get his people, so to speak, on the Fed that are interested in cutting rates, that's his way of fighting back. But this, you know, beggar thy neighbor type situation that we are in, if that's just going to accelerate, there aren't going to be any winners. So you have tariffs that are throwing mud in the spokes of economic activity, and you're going to have currency battles now and everyone trying to fight each other on that end, and this poison of negative interest rates. It's just truly bizarre world. But I don't see this as being good for economic growth and economic confidence, no matter what the stock market thinks.
But this is all in the face, too, of the longest economic expansion on record, too, right? So it does seem like other central banks, the Fed, have lost a lot of their ammo, or their ammo doesn't carry the same firepower. And eventually, it seems like we will get that recession. But is there an environment, too, where you could see a recession happen and somehow the markets stay somewhat levitated?
I mean, with what central bankers are trying to do here, I guess anything is possible. I don't think that'll end up being the case. I mean, I just don't believe in free lunches, and you know, the market believes that there's a free lunch here, but I don't believe in one. So at least for now, there is one. But I think if you go into a global recession and earnings start to really fall, no amount of central bank easing is going to help. Just again, look at Japan. You know, if you bought the Nikkei every time the Japanese embarked on more easing, how'd that do for you?
not well, exactly. But you know what? Other central banks just keep on trying to play off that or read off that playbook. What about the action that we've seen in the metals? More particular, gold. Gold finally broke out of this 5 to 6 year trading range it was in, and we've seen a lot more volatility, double digit dollar wise moves every day. That brings more investors in, more traders into the sector, and a breakout definitely helps with a little momentum to the upside, finally, but we're not seeing silver follow along. And in terms of the other metals, especially industrial metals, they're stuck because of this global slowing growth. But that gold breakout, are you encouraged of the moves that we're seeing in gold and the maybe investment opportunity?
I do think that this move is for real because of the exploding size of the pile of negative yielding securities. And you can overlay a chart of gold to that pile of negative yielding securities. And it's pretty highly correlated. And then you can throw in, of course, the Fed easing, dollar weakness, softness in the U.S. and global growth. And I mean, this is the ideal setup for precious metals. And I think that's why gold has gotten its legs here. And I think this is only the beginning. Silver certainly lagged because of the industrial side, but I'd be hard pressed to think that silver is going to continue to languish here. Gold's rally continues here as the ratio between the two widen out to historically very high spreads.
Yeah, we've talked about that gold-silver ratio and how it continues to go. I think it's in the 90s now, which we have not seen. I think we've only seen that one other time throughout the recent financial history. When it comes to, though, the inflation narrative, inflation is one of those fundamental drivers for gold that goes kind of hand-in-hand with low interest rates as two drivers. So we're still kind of missing that inflation fundamental driver, though, aren't we?
Well, consumer price inflation, yes, but asset inflation and certainly in bonds is just got another adrenaline push higher. So, yes, but I think that gold's has had a specious relationship to CPI because we know the shenanigans that go on there. But I think they clearly see what central banks are doing here to their currencies and their bond markets and to rates. And you had to reverse and say, how can you not own gold?
Yeah, well, you compare how undervalued it is from other financial assets. That's more about a rotation, though, of money, right? I think we've already started to see some of that rotation, but so much money was created, so much money landed on risk-off assets and into bonds that we're seeing that rotation back into some of these risk-off while also still supporting the underlying risk-on attitude. As we are now in the second quarter, though, here, Peter, what are the key factors you're going to be watching for managing money, for looking ahead at what is truly going to drive markets? I know it's still headline driven and still dominated by the Fed, but what are the crucial points that you could share with us?
I think it'll be really important, as I said earlier, what earnings are going to be like. You know, if this slowdown continues and earnings growth continues to slip, earnings estimates continue to fall, well, the market's just getting more and more expensive. And that's a bubble type situation where stocks go up, earnings go down, and valuations get inflated. And that's never a lasting thing. And I think that's the biggest concern here is just chasing things in the face of deteriorating fundamentals historically doesn't end that well.
Yeah, very true. Well, Peter, it's great having you on the show, and you are pointing out, you know what, some concerning signs for these markets, and I know a lot of the bears are saying, we've been saying this forever, and fair enough, they have been saying it for years, but maybe sooner rather than later, it will actually start to matter. We have seen some cracks in the overall financial markets, but there is still seeming to be a lot of liquidity out there and money that is flowing into now some of the safer assets, but still kind of surprising to see U.S. markets up so high. Peter, great having you on the show. Again, go check out Peter's website, The Book Report. I will post a link to that. He is also the Chief Investment Officer over at the Bleakley Advisory Group. Thanks for your time this weekend, Peter.
Thanks so much, Corey.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.